Super. Right. Okay. Let's just get the is that good for you? Can you see it wide?
I can see you, I can't see me.
What's happening here?
So your face is on the screen now, not mine. It's just a hot spot at the moment.
That's because that's why. Is that right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Good. Just be aware. Keep that in mind so you don't get too far out.
Well, brethren and friends, very blessed to be here. And a warm welcome to you, and also a warm welcome to any family members who've clicked in, and there's quite a few from Publico who've also clicked into this Zoom service. And it's a blessing to be able to say to my brother, David, I hope you switched on. So we come into the Lord. This is the first day of the week. It's our privilege to worship God and to seek him. And I pray that we will be blessed together. Let us pray as we commence. Let us all pray. May the Lord help us. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, so wonderful to be able to pray and to worship, to come on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, and seek to know that communion and that blessing with our Lord and Savior. We're very blessed to know that our God has called us to serve him in this latter time, in this, the last ages of the world, that we might be of use and of service to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This day he rose from the dead, and we're very grateful for all that he has done for us, and we seek to worship him now together. In his worthy name we pray all these things. Be with us, Lord. Help us, we're needy people, but we come to our God who is the strength of his people. Bless us then, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we're singing from the Psalms of David, and the first psalm is Psalm 50. There's two versions of this psalm. It's the first version, the short meter version, and these metrical psalms are a translation, seeks to be a translation of the Hebrew, and they've done very well to translate it into a metricated form so we can sing these to God's praise. So Psalm 50 then, the first version, and we're going to sing through to verse 5, 1 to 5. The mighty God, the Lord, hath spoken and did call the earth from rising of the sun to where he hath his fall. From out of Zion Hill, that's the church, which of excellency and beauty the perfection is, God shined gloriously. Our God shall surely come. Keep silence shall not he. Before him fire shall waste. Great storms shall round about him be. Unto the heavens clear he from above shall call, and to the earth likewise, that he may judge his people all. Together let my saints unto me gathered be, those that by sacrifice have made a covenant with me. That's the sacrifice of Christ. And we make a covenant, we covenant ourselves to the Lord. So 1 to 5 then, and we'll sing the tune Carlisle. Shall we stand to sing?
Almighty God, has spoken and did call the earth from rising over the sun to when he had his call.
Seated. So we're going to read from the Word of God, from Paul's letter to the Romans, a very important letter is the whole book, but we're in chapter 5, and I hope to bring some thoughts from verse 2. This is what we'll think about later, that little phrase in verse 2. This grace wherein we stand. This grace wherein we stand. That's what we're going to talk about a bit later. It's a major chapter in the Word of God, but we'll read the whole chapter then. The first part is more simple, from verse 14 onwards, slightly difficult to understand, but the main thing is, verse 12, we believe the one man is Adam. From Adam, the proof of his sin is this: death comes to everyone. And we believe very strongly in Adam and Eve. God created them. The world was made in 6 days, and Adam and Eve were the cause of the fall of the human race. But with those introductory thoughts, let us read chapter 5 then of the book of Romans. This is God's holy word. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. Patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Hallelujah. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord for his word. So we'll sing now again, singing from Psalm 63. Singing from the first verse through to verse 6, Lord, thee my God, I'll early seek. My soul doth thirst for thee. My flesh longs in a dry parched land, wherein no waters be, that I thy power may behold and brightness of thy face, as I have seen thee heretofore within thy holy place. Since better is thy love than life, my lips thee praise shall give. I in thy name will lift my hands and bless thee while I live, even as with marrow and with fat, my soul shall filled be. Then shall my mouth with joyful lips sing praises unto thee. When I do thee upon my bed, remember with delight. When on thee I meditate in watches of the night. So 1-6 then of Psalm 63, and the tune is Jackson will stand to sing.
My God, I'll early sing. My soul doth thirst for thee. My flesh longs in a dry parched land, where no waters be. That I thy maybe home and a brightness over thy face, as I have seen thee here to form within thy holy place. Since better is thy love than life, My limbs they praise again. I in thy name will lift my hands up the best thee while I live. My soul shall fill be, then shall my mouth with joyful lips sing praises unto thee.
Seated. So we're going to pray and may the Lord help us and send His Spirit into our hearts. Mighty and eternal God, our Heavenly Father, very blessed to be able to come together on the Lord's Day. We seek to come into thy presence through the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He has invited us to come unto him and to find rest for our souls. And Lord, we gladly do this. We're so thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit for many years. Some of us can testify of thy grace over many, many years, keeping us from so much evil, bringing us to better views of our God and Savior. Lord, we ask for help as we meet together to worship today. We ask especially that we might have right views of our God, right views of ourselves as sinners saved by grace, right views of this world and its fading glory, knowing that this is the latter time, and that who knows, Lord, we know not how long. But we look to thee, the God of grace, very, very thankful that we can pray, thankful that our God has looked upon us, our God who made the heavens and the earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars, glorious. Everywhere we see the handiwork of our God in all nature. Everything we look at, Lord, the beasts, the fields, the forests, the mountains, the oceans, and we see that great handiwork and we glory in it. How wonderful to know that our God, the great architect and the designer of all things that are, the God who made the human race, after his own image and likeness. We know, Lord, our souls are related to thee, and how blessed we are that our souls once were wandering far from thee. But the good shepherd came and found us, wandering in the desert, brought us back home, and we rejoice together. So wonderful to know these things. So thankful to be with in the fellowship of the people who love the word of God and who love Christ. Help us, Lord, to increase in love and faith as we seek to go on with the Lord. We pray at this time for our leaders, for King Charles, the royal family. Pray for the Parliament, O God, that righteousness might be brought back, that justice and goodness and everything that glorifies us as a people and nation, once a great nation, but now very far fallen into sin and immorality, every false philosophy, confusion, Oh, what destruction awaits us, Lord, if the Lord doesn't come in for us and change the course of events. We pray, O God, to pour out of thy Holy Spirit from on high. We cry out with Isaiah, oh, that thou would rend the heavens and come down and Lord, minister to us as individuals, but cause there to be many who would be open to the gospel. We see such hostility and such hatred of Christ and his word, he who is so good and so full of favor and mercy and blessedness, yet hated in the world. Still, after all these years, a man still despised and rejected of men. But we glory in thee, Lord, knowing that we come to the Son of God, the eternal one, who was and is and ever shall be. He who was with God from all eternity and took flesh, God manifest in the flesh. And Lord, we seek to worship them. Help us now as we wait upon thee. Send the Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts as we hear the word of God preached. Lord, may we learn and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We bless thee for all that we know of the gospel. Bless thee for what we know of Christ and him crucified, and all that it means, the blood of Christ that cleanseth from all sin. Bless thee then for our Lord Jesus Christ. In his worthy name we pray all these things. To him be the praise and the glory. Amen. Present in prayer. So we're going to sing another psalm, and then we'll hear the word of God preached. So we're singing next Psalm 36. Psalm 36 from verse 5 through to 10. Thy mercy, Lord, is in the heavens. Thy truth doth reach the clouds. Thy justice is like mountains great. Thy judgments deep as floods. Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How precious is thy grace. Therefore, in shadow of thy wings, men's sons their trust shall place. They with the fatness of thy house shall be well satisfied. From rivers of thy pleasures thou wilt drink, to them provide. Because of life, the fountain pure remains alone with thee. And in that purest light of thine, we clearly light shall see. Thy loving kindness unto them, continue that they know. And still on men upright in heart, thy righteousness bestow. So from 5 through to 10, the tune is Magnus, and we'll stand to sing.
The Lord is in thy hand, thy throne doth raise the clouds. Thy justice is like mountains great. Thy justice deep as floods. Lord, thou preservest the man and beast, thou precious is thy grace. Therefore in shadow sons their trust shall place. They with a fatness of thy house shall be well satisfied. From rivers of thy will the drink to them provide. Because of life, a fountain pure, us, the light of thy clearly light shall see. My loving kindness unto them continue the happy now and still by righteousness bestowed.
Can you just check this is all right, Mark? Something's changed. The image is gone. My face is no longer there. Oh, it's back. Okay. Thank you. So we return again to Romans chapter 5. Paul is speaking to true believers here. So the verse I wanted to just open up for us this morning, just a few simple lessons, verse 2, where he says this phrase, this grace wherein we stand, this grace wherein we stand, this grace wherein we stand. Speaking to true believers, Paul by the Holy Spirit is very confident that Christians have a standing with God which shall never fail. Brethren, we live in a world of failures, do we not? Open any newspaper, view the world news, scan the affairs of men, and you will know many things in our modern society are just crashing. There is hatred, there is confusion, there is lies, there's hostility in our world. And we're entering, as it were, into a new dark age, seems to me, in our nation. We have a disturbed world. It's too depressing to give you the official figures. I looked them up. The single mothers, the divorce rate, the crime, the drugs, it's unbelievable. The figures are unbelievable, but it's too depressing to give you the official figures. We're in a world of failures and disasters. Calvin says something like this. He says, everywhere we look, we are forced to behold a hideous deformity. And I thought that was a good phrase, hideous deformity. So we're looking at failures in our world, falling into sin. But Paul says, of Christians, we shall stand because of everything said in chapter 5. It's an amazing chapter, chapter 5 of Romans. Everything said in chapter 5 about our standing with God. He links it all to the grace of God. This grace wherein we stand. So there are two things to think about this morning. First of all, some thoughts on grace. And then secondly, some thoughts on our standing and what it means to stand in the faith. In many places in Paul's writings and in the Bible, Paul explains what grace is. The word grace appears 3 times in Romans and 4 times in chapter 5 of the Romans. But just view for a moment grace has brought us, in the grace has brought us. This grace has brought us faith. We know faith is a gift of God. Verse 1. This grace into grace, verse 2, or you could say more grace. This grace has brought us hope, verse 2. And this grace has brought us to the glory of God now in this time and hereafter. Grace is such a glorious word. In the original language, it's such a word of largesse, could I say. It covers concepts of great generosity, gratitude, gratefulness, gracefulness. And what grace is this. Grace is this, is a free, uncoerced, cheerfully bestowed goodness and favor upon unworthy fallen humanity. That's a bit of a sentence there. Free, uncoerced, cheerfully bestowed goodness and favor upon unworthy fallen humanity. So the root idea of grace is this, really: unmerited favor from God. I remember in the Sunday school many years ago, I was taught this about grace. GRACE, God's riches at Christ's expense. So you young people can learn that. God's riches at Christ's expense. So now we look in the second place at this idea of standing in Scripture. And to stand in Scripture has the basic meaning of a quality, if you like, a quality of immovable or unmovable permanence. And we look at ourselves as the human race. We are anything but immovable permanence. As we are here this morning, we just look at our whole human race. We are fallen in Adam. We are devious. We are far from God. I speak in general terms. We've broken off from loving God and from loving good. We are shaken by a small wind. All of us are fading as a leaf. Our days are short as a fading flower. James speaks of our life as but a vapor. It's a bit like the kettle. You switch it on, the vapor comes up and is gone. That's our life compared with God's eternity. All flesh is grass. We soon mown down. We stumble at the noonday. Even a small stick in the way and we've fallen over. And I can say this. Paul's words in chapter 3 of Romans are much stronger than the words I've used. He speaks of misery, destruction, poison under the tongue, cursing and bitterness, uncleanness. That's the human race. So, though this is totally true, it does not stop the world seeking permanence here below in every way they can. Is it not true? The world places all their confidence in themselves, what they know, their science, their education, the policies, wealth, fame, reputation, great celebrity status. At the moment, of course, there's all these summer festivals, people just rioting, the arts, the theater, all the careers. That's where they're placing their hope of permanence. But I will say this. However much they may succeed for a time, their end is a terrible fall. Job says this, the triumphing of the wicked is short. At death, they face the king of terrors, says Job. Death is the king of terrors, but not for the Christian. For the true believer, there is no fear in death. The sting of death has been taken. The victory of the grave has been taken. In Hosea 4, chapter 4, verse 14, I quote it. It says, the people that do not understand shall fall. That's the unbeliever. That's the world. And when Christ appears at the great judgment day, the whole world will cry out, the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? But Paul says, there is a people who shall be able to stand. Who are they? They are Christians. Death has been conquered for us. So we shall stand. Not only stand then, at the great day, but now, in this time. By grace, we stand firm and unmovable. Paul uses a number of solid terms to describe our permanent standing. He says this, we are rooted and grounded in the faith. That's a lovely thought, isn't it? Rooted and grounded. Psalm 92 speaks of being planted by the Lord in his house. Speaks of when he's praying, he says, so that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So I'm expounding unto you what our standing is. In other words, our Lord God has full ability to make us stand in the faith for two reasons. Firstly, because of who he is, and secondly, what he can do. And I give you just four areas. I've got a few scriptures to read, and it all mentions standing. So I've got four areas of God's mighty standing power. Those taking notes, his counsel, his word, his covenant, and his kingdom. So I'm going to read a few of these very powerful statements. Even reading this first one is enough to make you just stop and say, Lord, you are amazing. This is Isaiah 46. This is his counsel. Isaiah 46, 10. I'll read from verse 9. Remember the former times of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Think of that. How great is this our God, who is able to tell you everything that will happen right to the end of time, long before it's happened. My counsel shall stand. Let me give you another one. This is one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 14, 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Let me give you one more from Proverbs. This is God's counsel. Proverbs 19:21 says this. He says, there are many devices in man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. So that was his counsel. God is able. Look now at his word. You know these words very well. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Then we look at his covenant. Psalm 89, verse 28 says this. Speaking of his people, he says, my mercy will I keep for him forevermore. My covenant shall stand fast with him. That's his covenant. And then finally, God's ability. I have a verse from Daniel, a tremendous verse. I've been reading the Bible 42 years, but when I read this, I thought, wow, this is something. This is Daniel 2, verse 44. This is his dream being interpreted by Daniel. And it says this, and in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Tremendous verses. These verses are full of power. And all of them point us to the Lord, who began a good work in our lives and has caused us to stand in the faith. He brought us to Christ. He's caused us to stand. He began a good work in us, and he's promised to bring it to completion at the great day of judgment. Look at what he's done for us. He gave us grace. He gave us faith. And we have received it. Peter says to all believers, and most of you here are believers, this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. 1 Peter 5:12. We've received the gospel, brethren. Have we not? It's a joy. It's the greatest joy in my life. 1 Corinthians 15:1-2. Listen to this. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Hallelujah. Paul says in Romans 11:20, but thou standest by faith. 1 Corinthians 1:24, by faith ye stand. So having absorbed all those truths, let me bring you a first sort of practical application. Because we are standing by grace and faith, then we have a command and a duty to stand. We don't just sit back and let God do it all. Do all the work. No. We are commanded and we have a duty to strive and to labor to stand in the faith. It's a bit like the Lord when he says to us, I am holy, ye are holy, therefore be holy. We have something to do. So let me read you some of the things we have to do. And you know these words well, Ephesians 6:13-17. And bear in mind the word to stand, right? It's Ephesians 6:13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the gospel of peace, above all taking the helmet, the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Bless the Lord for these words. A couple more scriptures from the New Testament. Paul in 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye, stand fast. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. You've got something to do. Stand fast. Let me give you another one. We know these words so well, but how true they are with it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise his name. So that's our calling, that's our duty, and we owe it to God. Let me give you another application here. For all of us here, be confident. Be confident then that the Lord who has lifted you up out of the miry clay, set your feet on a rock, will keep you to the end. Now, we used to sing years ago, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. How true that is. Standing on the promises of Christ my Savior, we used to sing. Remember this, brethren, we're on the winning side. Doesn't look like it here. It does not yet appear, but it will appear. The timing is not ours. So often I pray the Lord, how long, O Lord, how long? But you know, God's time is not our time. Think of the end of Malachi. The Lord promises to come. 450 years nearly passes. Then the New Testament opens. 450 years. What will you be doing for 450 years? 1,000 years is as one day. Even he says 1,000 years is as a watch in the night. I've been in the army. A watch in the night is 3 hours. 3 hours. Nothing. 1,000 years. This is 3 hours. So the Lord has brought us out, and we're standing on the solid rock. And brethren, all of us are building something. We are building a spiritual house, laying up treasure, seeking to serve the Lord in the ways we can. We're all building something. And let me tell you this. All houses look the same, don't they? Some of them are grand mansions. Some of them are beautiful palaces. They all look the same. But the question is, have they been built on the rock or are they built on the sand? All look the same until the great storm of life and death hits those buildings. The storm of death takes them over. The storm to beat all storms. And the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 7, those who hear God's word and do it is the person who's building on the rock. While the others who reject God's word will fall. And he says this, and great will be the fall of it. There's an Old Testament scripture to back that up. Says this, the wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. Proverbs 12:7. Not, of course, righteous in ourselves. No, we have none. We're destitute, but we're righteous by imputation. That's a great word. It's a great subject. Maybe next time I come, we'll go into that. Imputation of righteousness. It's the greatest doctrine, really, of the gospel. We've totally forfeited everything worthy of death, and yet Christ's righteousness is accounted to us. So we are as righteous as him, heirs of God, it says, heirs of Christ. Amazing. Joint heirs with Christ of all heaven's glory. So here we are then, building in this world. So let me give you a little warning to the young people especially. Many troubles will come your way. As you go out into the world and you take a career, you interact with people, have dealings with the people of the world, many offenses will come your way. Many scandals. How I managed to survive in Harrods for 32 years, I'm amazed. Only had once or twice a few problems. We are born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Let me tell you this, no one living in this world has an easy life. Nobody. But we as Christians, we have the knowledge. We have the wisdom. So let me tell you what wisdom is. Wisdom is not the same as knowledge. Wisdom is the skill of the art of living. Wisdom is the ability to apply the knowledge we have to any situation in life. And we come through victorious. We have a God-given ability. and spiritual tools to override all the evil that comes to us in this world. Yes, it's true that we will fall from time to time. We do. In the Proverbs, it says this, the righteous man falleth 7 times, but he rises up again. If we're brought into great trouble in life, just bear in mind this metrical psalm, Psalm 125, 2. As round about Jerusalem, the mountains stand alway, the Lord his folk doth compass so, from henceforth and for aye. And we heard last Lord's Day, Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear what man can do unto me. I heard a preacher recently, and he pointed out to me this, because we're all under stress and pressure in this world, but he pointed this out, this phrase. There's a phrase in the Bible that says, fear not. And he said this phrase, fear not, appears 366 times in the Bible. One for each day of the year, and even one for a leap year. Take that home. Therefore, dear church here today, go and stand. Go and stand and speak. As it says in Acts 5:20, go and stand and speak to the people all the words of this life. There's a good Old Testament back up here. It says, Jeremiah 6:16, I think you'll all love this. Stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest unto your souls. There's an echo of Christ's words there. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. God has been faithful to us, in my case, for 42 years. Let us then be faithful to him. Hear these words of Christ. He says, whosoever shall confess me before men, him or her, will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Hold fast then, brethren. Hold fast the faithful word. Titus 1:9. Let me finish on this verse in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wonderful words. Finally, then, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Well, I hope these thoughts helped us. Let us pray. May the Lord send his spirit into our hearts. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, our gracious God, as we think on this wonderful promises of our God and Savior to us, we who have tasted that the Lord is good and brought us over many years, we're very thankful, Lord. We've been brought through the valleys, the shadow of death sometimes, taken also to the mountaintops of joy and rejoicing in the Lord. We're very thankful for the word of God. How many would seek to destroy it? But through the great preservation of our God, it has been kept for us. We're very thankful to have it and to know that it ministers to us, the word of the Lord, Christ Jesus, in our souls. We're so thankful for these things. Bless us now as we seek to sing and seek to follow the Lord's command. Do this in remembrance of me. So bless us now, we ask, our God and Father, in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So we're singing to conclude from Psalm 30. Psalm 30, from verse 3. 3-8. O Lord, my soul thou hast brought up and rescued from the grave, that I to pit should not go down alive. Thou didst me save. O ye that are his holy ones, sing praise unto the Lord, and give unto him thanks when ye his holiness recall. For but a moment lasts his wrath, life in his favor lies. Weeping may for a night endure, at morn doth joy arise. In my prosperity I said that nothing shall be me. O Lord, thou hast made my mountain, thou hast my mountain made to stand strong by thy love. See the word to stand there again. But when that thou, O gracious God, that hides thy face from me, then quickly was my prosperous state turned to misery. Wherefore, unto the Lord my cry I caused to ascend, my humble supplication I to the Lord did send. So 3-8, the tune is Newington. Shall we stand to sing?
My soul has brought up and rescued from the grave, that I to be should not go down alive. Thou didst me say, O ye that are his holy one, sing praise unto the Lord, and give unto thanks when ye his holiness recall. Oh, but a moment lost his wrath, life in his favor lies. Weeping may for a night and joy at home doth joy arise. In my prosperity I said that nothing shall me move. O Lord, thou hast my mountain made to stand strong by thy love. But when did hide thy face from me, then quickly was my prosperous state turned into misery. My humble supplication I to the Lord descend.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of thee, God, our heavenly Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now through the next service, through this day, yea, through the next week, yea, forevermore. We ask it in the worthy name, the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen.